let me walk. Walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone. To the land apart, giving shed everywhere to the sick and alone. Fill my way everywhere with love. Fill my way everywhere. Heavenly down, let me go all the while in us. Fill my way everywhere with love. Keep me close to the side in my Savior and guide. Keep my but in darkness grow. Keep my pathway from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way with love. Fill my way everywhere with love. My way everywhere with love. Soon the race will be over and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing blessed King all the way to the shore. Fill my way everywhere with love. Fill my way everywhere with love. As I walk with the heavenly down, all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way everywhere with love. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise, oh Jesus, Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing holy ground. There are angels around. Let us praise, oh Jesus, now. We are standing His presence on holy ground. How excellent is thy name, Lord. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. Marvelous is thy name, O Lord. How marvelous is thy name, O Lord. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. O Lord, how marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name, O Lord. How wonderful is thy name, O Lord. How wonderful is thy name. 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 Oh Lord. How wonderful is thy name. How wonderful is thy name. How wonderful is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name. How beautiful is thy name. How beautiful is thy name, O Lord. How beautiful is thy name. How beautiful is thy name. How beautiful is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy law, O Lord. How excellent is thy name, O How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. His name is everything, brother, for you and for me. Your protection, whatever you need, brother, sister. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. Down from His glory, ever living story. Amen. down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name, born in a manger, to His home a stranger. Amen. Wrought His an agony. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, sunshine, my all in all, Creator, He became my Savior, God's fullness dwelling in Him. Condensation, bringing us redemption.
In the dead of night, not one thing of His sight.
God gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to hold the wind to save my soul. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all. Great Creator, He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without reluctance, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know Thou art the Great I Am. Oh, how I love sunshine.
Oh, Father, we just want to adore you upon this evening, Lord. Father, you're good and gracious, Lord. And Father, how we just want to praise your name. Father, how we just want to, Lord, think of the words of the song. Father, express back unto thee, Father, this great mystery, this great grace that you've given unto us. Oh, Father, just to give ourselves unto thee. Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Be glorified upon this night, Lord. Even as you've been in the song worship, be with us going forth. Father, we appreciate you, Lord. We appreciate all that you've done. We appreciate all that you are doing. Father, we appreciate all that you shall do. Now, Father, continue upon this night, Lord. Work your wonderful work. Work your wonderful way. Help us, Lord, each and everyone, just to get our humanity out of the way, to lay aside, Lord, the busyness of the day, and to come unto that place, Father, Lord, that the supernatural may move in. That, Father, that might be the mind of Christ in us. That, Father, we may know your mind and your thoughts. That, Father, you may reveal yourself better unto us. Bless your people upon this night. Every request before us, Lord, we dedicate it up unto thee. Them that couldn't make it, we commit them into your hands, Lord. Father, as you open up your word, open up understanding, Lord, anoint us. Every single one of us, Lord, let us hide ourselves away in the perfect atonement upon this night, Lord, to come under the token that you've made for us. May you speak and may you listen in us. In Jesus' name, be glorified, we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's open Exodus chapter 14. We do greet you in Jesus' name. It's cold out there, but I'm glad it's not cold in here. I'm sure in your soul it's not cold. Exodus chapter 14. Let's read from verse 10. You know the scripture. It's Israel at the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that you may serve the Egyptians? But it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. We'll just take that as our thought. Speak and go forward. I just want to answer a couple of questions just in the beginning, maybe just to take some of the things from the message about faith, the principles of faith. There's never been a better resource to understand the things of faith than the message of the hour. I've never found anything. You know, you can listen to other people, other people's opinions, but the prophet, he knew what faith was, and he knew the approach to faith as well. You know, he knew these principles of faith. And friends, I really do believe as the Holy Ghost would so much brood over these principles of faith these days that it's good for us just to continue in this thought. I'll just take it from the message, 1955, Melchizedek, the great prince and king. The prophet is speaking about faith. And I just wanted us to bring something up because it really helped me when I was looking at that this principle this week. The prophet first, he's starting, first of all, speaking about the grace covenant to Abraham. And he says, the covenant was given to Abraham unconditionally. He says, then the prophet goes to explain why. Why would God give a grace covenant? And he says, who could we, the unrighteous ones, ever do anything to merit something before the great Jehovah God and his great supreme holiness? So the prophet's saying, if you think of yourself and you think of how great God is, you think of how holy, how perfect he is. Is there anything that you think you can do or I can do to merit anything from God? Is there anything we could do of such an excellence? Yeah, if we take God's perfect standard of excellence and perfection, we can never come anywhere near anything we try to offer, anything that we try to do to come in any way before God and expect in our own merits that God must do something for us. No, it's not going to be. If God's going to do something for us, it's His grace to do it for us. It's because of His nature. It's because of His character. It's because He's gracious. Because He's merciful. He has compassion. Because He looks down on us. The Bible says He knows we are but flesh. He knows the infirmities. He came down as a man. He dwelt amongst us as a man. He knows what it is. And that's why He has compassion upon us. So when God is going to make a covenant, He's not going to make a covenant with us according to our merits. That was the old covenant. And Israel fell far short from day one. So the prophet said, anything that God does, he says, the only thing we can do is accept and be grateful for what He's already done for us. Now that's what faith is. You know, faith is accepting what God has done for you. Now that's the principle He's going to show us. He says, oh, that's so simple, isn't it? Now the first thing about faith He's going to show us is we make it far too complicated many times. Listen how He explains this. He says, that's so simple, isn't it? And I'm positive that many times in people's thinking, they try to make divine healing and so forth some great outreaching something way out there. And we've all done that. Now you're trying to lay a hold of something, you're trying to seek something from the Lord. You know, we get to the stage, you'll be challenging yourself, do I have enough faith for that? You know, you're trying to reach out here. And the prophet's going to say, no. Some great outreaching something way away. Oh, if only I could reach it. Could you imagine Jesus saying, now let me check my faith and see if I've got enough faith to do this. Maybe I'll have to fast a while to see if I've got enough faith to do this. He was perfectly unconscious of the faith that he had. He just spoke it and knew it would be so. Now we're going to see the principle of this when he preaches in perfect faith. The prophet says, why did Jesus have this? Because Jesus knew who he was. And he knew what he'd been raised up for. He knew what he was to fulfill. He knew he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He knew the scriptures he had to fulfill. He knew his day. He knew his message. He knew he had been called. He knew he had been commissioned. He knew he had been anointed. He knew he had been appointed. He knew what it is that he was supposed to do. So anything that would come in his way while he was in the line of duty, knowing who he was, it wouldn't worry him at all. Because he knew this is not my responsibility here. I've been commissioned. This is why I was born. This is what I was raised up for. This is what I've been called for. This is what I've been anointed for. You see, and that's what Jesus was. And Jesus, he had perfect faith, the prophet says, in who he was. He had perfect faith knowing who he was. He had perfect faith in the hour that he lived in. The prophet says he knew it was the acceptable day of the Lord. It was the time to preach deliverance to the captives and so forth. He knew exactly what it was that he was there to do. So he just went and he did it. And anything that stood in his way, he didn't worry about it. He didn't have to work himself up in faith. He could just speak and go forward because he knew that's what he was raised up to do. And he knew everything had to take care of itself because this was something standing between him and the fulfillment of the will of God inside of his life. So he had perfect confidence in that. The prophet says he was perfectly unconscious of the faith that he had. He just spoke it and knew that it would be so. Just like, so he's going to bring it to us. You're coming from your homes today. You probably want to return to your home. You told your wife or your loved ones, I'll be back sometime right afternoon. How do you know that you are? You don't try to wonder, have I got faith enough to go home? Amen. Have I got faith enough to drive my car? Yes. You just unconsciously turn your key on, drive away and go on home. You see, it's an unconscious faith that does it. Amen. That's the way it is in Christ. We just unconsciously say, that's His word. That settles it. No more to it. And go on. And that's how they get it. And that's the principle of faith. You see, we try to puzzle out faith. We try to work out faith. We try to rate ourselves in proportion. How much faith do I need to get this promise? That's the wrong way to go about it. Amen. That's not the way faith should be. The prophet, how many times does he tell us when he preaches about the Exodus, the Passover night? And he said they used common hyssop. That when they had to apply the blood, he says it was readily available. You didn't have to hunt and search to try to find hyssop. And the prophet says that hyssop types your faith. Amen. in order to apply the blood. It was something so simple. It was something so common. It was readily at hand. It was readily available. You didn't have to seek God and say, Lord, where am I going to find this hyssop from? You just went out of your door, went into your garden, there was hyssop. You took the hyssop, took the blood, and you put it on your house. And that's what faith is. Faith is an unconscious thing. Faith is unconscious to a believer. You don't know how much faith that you've got. You don't realize how much faith that you've got. The prophet says, unconscious faith does that. He says, now, we hear so many people say, well, if I only had faith. Faith doesn't mean long, drawn-out prayer meetings. The prophet is saying, if you're trying to get faith, it doesn't mean you've got to come and have a big, long prayer meeting to get faith. He says, it doesn't mean long fasts. Now, those things are good in themselves. No, we know that those have their place, but that's not how you get faith. Faith isn't that you have to fast for a long time to get faith. Well, there's certain challenges, like Jesus said. Some come out only by prayer and fasting. We know there's certain things that you have to rise up to meet them. But the prophet's speaking about you in your line of duty. Amen. Now, the faith that you and I need to overcome what's in our path today, we don't have to go and have a long fast about it. Amen. We can just face up to what it is. If you are in your position as a believer, if you are a mother in your position, if you've been called, if you've been commissioned as a mother, if you've been anointed under the message of God, if you've already been born again, you've met Christ, the Spirit of God is in you, and sickness comes in your home, you've got every right in the simplicity of things to go and challenge that sickness. Anything that comes, you don't have to wait for somebody else to come. You don't have to wait for your husband to come home. You don't have to do that. You in your position. And anything that stands before you in the line of duty, you already have the faith to overcome it. Because God will never put upon you something that you're not able to bear. So you might look at something and say, this is a big problem. But if God has allowed your footsteps to face up to that problem now, God knows you've got the faith to overcome it. But you don't know that you've got the faith to overcome it. That's the problem. And the devil wants to try to tell you you don't have the faith to overcome it. And that's where he's a liar. And that's why the prophet's going to show us that faith is an unconscious thing. And that if you're in the line of duty, if you're a child of God, you've already got the faith. No matter what comes your way, God would be defeating his own purpose to put you in a situation that you didn't have faith enough to meet up with. Would God put you in a situation, if you're his son, his daughter, to face up to something that you're not yet able to face up to? God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He holds back some of the bigger challenges while he works on your faith. But if he's allowed you to face up to something now, and you're in the line of duty, you don't have sin inside of your life, you can just speak and go for it. That thing cannot stand in your way. If you are to stand your ground unconsciously, like the prophet says, and say, I'm going forward in the name of the Lord. I'm not even going to pay attention to this thing. This thing must go. It'll go. Because it's God's responsibility. So he says that people say, if only I had faith. The prophet says faith is an unconscious thing. Your real faith, you're unconscious of it. Then he gets on it again. Could you imagine Jesus questioning whether he had faith or not to stop the winds? You think Jesus looked and saw the wind coming and thought, oh my, maybe I'm not prayed up enough, you know, maybe I'm not ready. If God allowed the challenge to come, God knew he was ready for the challenge. And that's the same as you and I. If something comes, we don't have to worry and go and search ourselves and say, but hey, you know, is everything okay here? Yeah. God knows what he's doing. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So that challenge that's come, he wants to teach you something. And all he wants you to do is use that faith that's already in you and face up to that challenge. Amen. And you'll be so surprised how much faith that you have. That's what the prophet continually says. The prophet says Jesus never questioned his faith. Then he says, you should never question your faith. Amen. You should never, he says, say, I don't think I've got much faith. Remember we saw last the other day, the prophet, that's the devil's language. That's what the devil wants to hear you say. How can you say I don't have enough faith? How do you know how much faith that you've got? Faith is an unconscious thing. You don't know how much faith you've got. Let the challenge come up, then you'll see how much faith that you've got. Amen. That's when you'll really, really see it. He goes on to say, a little bit later in the same message, he says, any man or woman that ever makes real warriors in the kingdom of God are perfectly unconscious of their faith. You keep trying to test your faith. That's what he says. Amen. I wonder if I've got enough faith to do this. Don't test your faith.
Amen.
Don't ever try to test your faith. Amen. Don't do that, the prophet says. He says, God said so, so just do it anyhow.
Amen.
That's what you do. Whether you feel you've got enough faith, whether you feel you don't have enough faith. If something comes in the line of duty and your life is clear with God, you go forward.
Amen.
You face up to that thing, you step into that situation, and you take it under your authority in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's what the prophet says.
Amen.
Don't test your faith, question your faith, and say, maybe I need to try this first. No, no, no. There's nothing like that to a believer. He says, don't test your faith. He says, have you ever tested your faith, whether you had enough faith to come to the meeting or not tonight? Did you test your faith to see if you had enough faith to eat your supper tonight? He says, do you think you'll have to fast a while and test your faith to see if you've got enough faith to drive your car home? It's just automatically you believe it.
Amen.
Now that's what faith is.
Amen.
Faith isn't here. Faith is here.
Amen.
Your mind might tell you a lot of other stories, but God knows what's in here.
Amen.
And when you step out, that's something in there is going to declare itself. No matter what your mind is saying, that's the other realm. That's the battlefield. But the soul, the heart of a believer, when God brings situations your way, he's already made sure you got the equipment. Remember when David came, they wanted to challenge Goliath, and then he went to see King Saul. And King Saul was saying to him, no, you don't have enough faith. You need more armor than this. And he says, you need to take my armor, and he wants to put his armor on him. Then David says, I don't know these things.
Yeah,
I haven't proved these things.
Yeah,
and he went the way that he was.
Yeah,
he didn't have to fast. He didn't have to pray. David never prayed. He knew this is the devil. I've been anointed by the prophet. I've been called. I've got a destiny upon the throne. It doesn't matter how big this giant is, because nothing's going to keep me from the throne. No matter what obstacle comes in the way, I'm going to take what I've got, I'm going to use it, and that obstacle is going to come down. And you'll find as a believer, it's exactly the same with you and I. But sometimes we don't want to step out and challenge that situation. We want to stay in the comfort zone. Then we want to say, okay, let me get someone else to come and pray. Let me get somebody else. You know, other times you do need people to pray for us. You do need people to help us. I'm not saying that. But generally speaking, we're too backwards with our faith, because we don't realize the faith that we have. Because faith is an unconscious thing. The prophet says, that's the way you believe healing or believe anything that God said. Now he gives us a key. Just don't fight at it and shake at it and rebuke the devil every minute. Just accept it and go on. That's it.
Amen.
Why bother about the devil? If you're serving God, why bother about the devil? If the devil comes and puts sickness in your body, you say, Lord, I'm going forward in your name. I'm going to serve you. Don't keep rebuking the devil. Don't keep taking your attention from what God wants you to do and you're putting your attention on the devil all the time. Some people are so devil conscious. We should be God conscious, not devil conscious. You just go forward and say, Satan, you can't hold me back from the divine purpose that God has called me to. You can't do that. And that's what the prophet's teaching us. He says, just accept it and go on. He says, there's nothing to be alarmed about. God said so, that settles it. So we just go ahead knowing that it's going to happen. Just forget about it. God said it, that proves it, I believe it, that settles it, that's all you got to do. But the problem with us, it's too simple. Now we want to make some great epic struggle out of the problem that we've got. But like the prophet says, sometimes if it's like a rattlesnake, if you're going to keep on enticing a rattlesnake, it's going to give you a hard time. But if you can just use the power of a committal and commit it to the Lord and pay no attention to it,
amen,
God will take care of the rest. And that's the principle that he's teaching about in faith here. He says in the message, Faith Charlotte, he's in the prayer line. He says, do you believe that lady sitting right there? He says, yes. You had more faith than you thought you had. See? Faith is a subconscious thing, lady. Faith is not a mental act. It's something that you subconsciously do it. People try to look to the intellect for faith. Faith doesn't lay in here. Reasoning lays in here. Faith lays in the soul. And that woman was sitting there sick, yeah? And the anointing came down and the pillar of fire moved over her, and inside of herself, she didn't know she had so much faith. She might have been battling in her mind saying, I wonder this and I wonder that. But inside of her soul, the prophet says inside of the engine room, yeah? The engineer was there in the powerhouse. So she had enough faith. And that pulled the pillar of fire to her, and the prophet says, you didn't even know that you had so much faith. He goes on again and he says in questions and answers, Jefferson, well, he says, your faith is unconscious. Don't press now or jump. You jump right away from it. You see, he's saying it's such a simple thing. Don't press and jump and get all worked up about it. You'll get yourself away from it. It's just so simple. He says, your faith is unconscious. Don't press now or jump. You jump away from it. It's right with you. Just relax yourself and believe it. Amen. That's why I love the prophet. Hallelujah. And the way he teaches. Other people have been telling you, you've got to work yourself up. Work yourself up in a frenzy of prayer to get faith. The prophet says, don't do that. Amen. Just relax yourself. Amen. And believe it. Say, God is with me. God called me. Amen. This is the devil in my way. This is a challenge God has ordained me to face up to. But if He's allowed me to face up to it, He's obviously prepared me for it. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. If He's allowed the situation, I'm going forward now. That's what faith is. And He says, just relax. Just relax. But the devil wants to get us all worked up. And then now we're starting to puzzle in our minds. And we're trying to work up some kind of faith in our minds. There's no faith inside of your mind. Faith isn't in that realm. Faith is in the subconscious realms. Faith is inside of your soul. Now, friend, you think of yourself. I think of myself. Every time you sit under the anointed word, it's storing something away in your subconscious, in your soul. Every time you listen to one of the prophet's messages, you've been prayed up and you're feeding your soul and something quickens and something is anointed to you. That's not going nowhere. That's going into your subconscious. That's going below. You might forget it in your mind. But if that was anointed and revealed to you, it's in your soul. Amen. It's in there. And you've been storing all of these things up. You don't know how much faith you've got inside of you. Amen. You don't know the power that's inside of you as a believer. God has invested so much. He's equipped us. He's prepared us. He's put so much inside of us, even without us realizing it. Amen. And now sometimes when the challenge comes up, go forward. And God will now start to quicken some of those things. God will now allow that to start to express itself. And you'll be like this lady. You'll be surprised. But I never knew that I had so much faith. Because it's an unconscious thing. It's not a conscious thing. That's why he says, sometimes your faith is unconscious. You have it and you don't know it. That little woman had it and she didn't know it. What about Gideon? He had it and he didn't know it. God says, you mighty man of valor. The man was shocked. He said, I'm a mighty man of valor. He didn't know. But God says, you're a mighty man of valor. And there he was standing there thinking in his mind, meditating upon the message of the prophet that had been given to him, saying, but if God is God and God is God, he opened the Red Sea. Why can't he deliver us from this situation? And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, go in this thy might. You've already got the might. You've already got the revelation inside of you. There's only one thing lacking. You're not stepping out in your faith. You're hiding behind the threshing floor here with your wheat. Do something. Go and express that faith that's inside of you. And he went forward. And when he started to go forward, I said, but hey, I didn't realize I could do some of these things. I didn't realize God would use me to do some of these things. It's an unconscious thing. You don't realize how much faith that you've got inside of you. But friends, the devil does. Amen. The devil does. And that's why he always wants to bring a condemnation. He always wants to try to tell you this, that, and the other. Don't listen to him. Amen. Listen to what God says about you. Amen. That's the most important thing. That's because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Now the prophet speaks about Jesus in the message he swore by himself. He says, listen, I'm going to say something. Look. Faith is unconscious. Yes. Amen. He says, do you believe it? He says, I've learned that in the years of traveling around the world, meeting people of all different walks, faith is unconscious. Yeah. You've got faith and don't even know it. That's right. Jesus, no matter if he was in a storm, the gales knocking the boat from one side to the other, or standing in the face of a mess of demons, if he was hanging anywhere, it never moved him. He walked right along just as calm and quiet as he could be. Why? He was simply unconscious of fear. Just as fear didn't bother him because he knew he was. It's okay, this may be a big storm, but I've been commissioned to go to the other side. There's a soul waiting on the other side. Remember when Jesus came to, and the angel came to Paul in the boat? Remember, and the Lord says, look, you know, you've been commissioned to go to Rome even before you got on the boat. Paul knew this storm can't sink me. Because God isn't finished with me. I'm in the line of duty. I've got a commission. I must go and stand before Caesar. I must testify in Rome. It doesn't matter how many hurricanes we go through. I'm going to come out the other end. It may be uncomfortable. The situations may be difficult. Because he knew who he was. He knew what he was raised up to do. He knew what the commission was that he was supposed to fulfill. So no matter what it was, when that snake bit him on the finger, when he was on the island of Melita, didn't worry him. He shook it off in the fire and continued fellowshipping with the people that were there. And the people were looking at him saying, surely this man, vengeance has got him. He must be a murderer or something, because though he escaped from the storm, but the snake bit him. And then they said, nothing happens. This man must be a god. He wasn't a god. He was a man in the will of God. He was a man in the line of duty. And he had unconscious faith. He didn't have to go and pray and say, Lord, I've just been bitten by a snake. I wonder if I've got enough faith to overcome the snake bite. He knew, I can't die, because God says, he's not finished with me yet. And friends, with you and I, God is not finished with us yet. God doesn't start to work in your life and then leave it half complete. He who began the good work will finish the work. So no matter what comes in your way, go forward. Go forward. Don't stand back. Don't fear and say, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Go forward. Face up to it. Step out. Face up and say, I'm going forward in the name of the Lord. He says, don't get worked up about it. Just relax. Say, God has everything under control. I don't understand a lot of what's going on, but Lord, I'm going forward because you're not yet finished with me. You called me, you raised me up, you've commissioned me for a cause. I haven't yet fulfilled the purpose that you've called me to the fullest of his extent. And that should give you confidence the same way that it is with Jesus. That was the basis of his perfect faith. He knew who he was. He knew what he was raised up to do. He knew it. It doesn't matter about the storm. I have to die on a cross. I have to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I have to be the lamb who's the sacrifice for the people. He said, it doesn't matter all the circumstances that may raise up across my path. No, he knew these things cannot be the end. This is just something I'm going to navigate through. And each of those things would help him to build up his faith. So the prophet says that about him. He says he just walked right on, unconscious. That's right. He believed what God said was the truth. The words must be fulfilled, and he knew that his life was to fulfill them. Amen. So he knew there's certain things I have to fulfill, and I haven't yet fully fulfilled them. So whatever comes my way now, it's a Red Sea. I just speak and I go forward. That's what it was. He didn't have to fuss and stew. You know, I heard somebody say it once, and I really liked it. He says, you know, you look at how the prophet used to pray for people. Now us, because of our lack of faith, when you pray for people, we like to shout, you know. It's like, Lord, heal this. It's like you're trying to shout the demon. But look at Brother Branham. It's say, Lord, heal my sister. She needs you in Jesus' name. That's what Jesus was like. That's faith. It's not making a lot of noise. It's not a lot of energy and a lot of emotion. Faith. Like Brother Wilmer put that quote, the anointing, supreme power in control. No, he knew who he was. He knew this has to go. This is my commission. I've been anointed to set the captives free. Here's a captive. Satan, come out. I've been anointed to set them free. Like Brother Biscuit, when he gives a testimony of the girl with the crossed eyes, and he says, and the prophet prayed for her, and then her eyes were still crossed. And then he prayed, and he says, I was counting 6 times he prayed. He says, and then he took that girl's head and put it to his bosom, the prophet, and he says, Satan, an angel of the Lord ministered this commission to me and told me If I would be sincere and get the people to believe, nothing will stand before my prayer. He says, the people are believing. So loose her. And then he didn't even look. He turned around and eyes were straight. He didn't shout. He didn't fuss. He just knew who he was. And he knew what he was raised up for. And he knew, this is my commission. And this challenged Satan, you know my commission as well as me. You know that I was commissioned by the angel of the Lord. And this is what he told me. And I fulfilled what he said. Therefore, you can't stand in the way. Amen. But he never even had to shout about those kind of a thing. Friends, it's a powerful thing to think about. Hallelujah. But sometimes we try to make faith some big something far off, some super duper something. It's so simple that we stumble over the simplicity. Now we try to work ourselves up into it, and by doing that we miss the very thing of what faith is. Instead of just relaxing ourselves, instead of just yielding ourselves, we're trying to work ourselves up. But faith is an unconscious thing. So he says he knew what his life was and he knew what he had to fulfill. He says, and you here to fulfill something too? Just the same basis as Jesus. You and I have been called to fulfill something. Every single one of us here who's got a divine call. You've got a call and you've got a commission and you've been anointed to do something. And you just need to know who you are. And just need to know what you've been called to do. And then you leave the rest in the hands of the Lord. The prophet says, just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. You see where he's trying to get us to? That's why he preaches Paul a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says he's trying to get us to be prisoners to his will. To get us to the stage that we don't get caught aside by the criticisms of people. We don't get caught up fighting battles in the fusses of people. He says you just walk away from those things. He says walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious of the world. Walk as you walk in Christ. Walk with him, not paying any attention to the right hand or to the left hand. Just keep moving on. Amen. And if something comes up in the church, just walk with God. If sickness strikes you, walk with God. Amen. If the neighbor says he doesn't like you, walk with God. Amen. Just keep walking with God. Amen. If the doctor says you're going to die, just keep walking with God. Amen. Just walk with God. That's all. For God has promised you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. And he took an oath by that covenant that he gave you that he would confirm it. So just walk with God then. My, what a sure foundation we have. But the problem comes in where? You want to reason things out. You want to try to work up some kind of a mental faith, face some kind of a challenge from our mental ability. That's the realm of the devil, friends. That's where he has plenty of access to come and put his dirty footprints there. But inside of your soul, he has no access. And that's where your faith is in your subconscious, down there. And as you step out, you'll find that it's so. You'll find it's exactly the truth. The prophet says, yes, you'll have your ups and downs. Don't worry. You'll have to go through briar patches. Yes, sir. You'll have to go over sharp rocks, over bluffs, down on the hillsides, through the mountains, over the waters, but walk with God. That's all that you've got to do, because Enoch walked with God. And Enoch is a type, so just keep walking with God. If the walk that God is wanting you to walk with him is taking you to a scary place, just keep walking with God. Just keep walking with God. Just take your hyssop, just apply the blood, and just keep walking on in simplicity. And you'll see that he will make a way. So the prophet speaks of this principle just so very, very much. But now, if you get into the message, why Christ speak, he now goes to compare Moses with Samson. Those are two of the characters that he compares. And he says, you will see now one shows so much human nature and the other one shows a man who's walking in his commission. One shows a man who's really, really going just unconscious in his faith, which was Samson. And yet Moses, being such an anointed sort of a person, God had to rebuke him. And saying, why are you crying to me? Speak and go forward. Amen. Speak and go forward. So he says it in Why Christ Speak, paragraph 196. He says, I want you to notice, this is a great lesson here. Moses, when the children began to get scared, they saw Pharaoh coming after them in the line of duty. That's the first thing. When trials come, are you in the line of duty? That's the first thing. If you're in the line of duty, you're in the place of safety. Satan will try to move you from that line of duty. But God is responsible for you in the line of duty. 100% you're on His hands. You are His responsibility in the line of duty. If He's called you to do something and you're going in that line of duty, walking in your commission and your calling, friends, when something stands in your way, they're going to have to deal with God. You're going to have to deal with Him. The prophet says, if you send your ambassador to some foreign land and they give your ambassador a hard time, the United States will send its entire army, if it has to back up that ambassador. Because that ambassador is not representing themselves. So our faith, friends, isn't in who we are as mortals. It's who we are in God.
Amen.
It's who we are in His program. It's who we are in His thoughts and His purposes and His divine will. And if you realize who you are, no matter how simple you may be as a believer, and then the devil wants to come and make a fuss, the devil's going to have to not just contend with you. There's someone far greater he has to contend with. Because he's standing in the way of the purposes of God. So he says that God had performed everything perfectly. But the children began to get scared. Now, He had started them on the journey. Now they got into trouble. And God says, I started them on the journey. They've been called out. The church is together. Now Moses, you take them on over. I have told you, I'm going to go and sit down and rest for a while. So the Lord says it to Moses. He said, Moses, you saw 10 times in Egypt the plagues. You've seen all these things that I've done through you. Okay? Now, take them into the promised land. I'm leaving it up to you now. The prophet says, and God says that, and Moses said, oh Lord, look, coming, here comes Pharaoh. What must I do? What must I do? He says, see, there isn't that just human beings.
Amen.
You see, we're listening to the wrong realm. We're paying attention to the wrong part of our makeup. We're looking at the flesh. We're looking at the circumstances. We're not looking to say, but God delivered us from Egypt, the superpower. He plagued them with plagues. He turned the waters into blood. He smote the firstborn. He passed over when He put the blood with the hyssop. But when they got into that difficulty, Moses now starts praying, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Yet he was called. He was commissioned from his birth. God had delivered him as a young man, as an infant in the days of his youth. Right from when he was born, right up to that day, the hand of God was on his life. But Moses forgot all of that. Moses forgot who he was. He forgot what he had been raised up to do. He forgot his commission. He forgot that we haven't yet fulfilled the purpose. God has promised us the promised land.
Amen.
We're not yet in the promised land. God isn't finished with us yet. So it doesn't matter what comes in our way. God has to make a way.
Yeah.
God is going to have to do something here to be faithful to His word, to fulfill His commission that He's commissioned us to do. So he says that. Here we see Moses expressing full human nature. Always wants God to get behind you and to push you into something. Every one of us is guilty.
Amen.
Instead of us looking and saying, this is a challenge. God has called me. God has raised me up. Let me go forward and do what God wants me to do. We brush this challenge aside. We wait back now. Okay, God, I don't really know what you want me to do. Can you confirm it, Lord? Let me put a fleece. If it's wet tonight, okay, Lord, now it was wet last night, and let me put one if it's dry tonight. And we all laugh because we know exactly. We've done it many times.
Amen.
Instead of facing up to the challenge.
Amen.
And the Lord will be standing back and putting the challenge, and He's got an expectation upon us. He'll be saying, I've taught you, I've commissioned you, I've taken you through so many things. You're ready for the challenge. You may not feel that you're ready for the challenge, but I know that you're ready for the challenge. I wouldn't bring you to the Red Sea if you weren't ready to face up to the situation. And then Moses, now, human nature. The prophet says, now that's us today. He says, you want God, after all we've seen, you want God to push you to do something. Many times. Moses had just laxed around and he said, God, I'll go and ask. Let me see. Yeah. You said, then I'll do it. But here, God had ordained him for the job. God had proved that He was with him. Any believer here, God has proved He's with you. How can you doubt? How can I doubt that God is with me? Look back. See what He's done for you. See the times the devil thought he had got you. And see what God did for you. See the time sickness came and God delivered you. See the time misfortune came, discouragement came, all kind of demon powers and evil spirits stood in your way. And you're still standing. And you're still going forth in the things of the kingdom of God. Learn a lesson from that. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But don't let it just be something which is a nice theory. If that's truth and there's something challenge you, he said he'll be with you. Go and face up to that challenge. And you'll find the same one who's been with you all the way through, he's going to be with you in that challenge as well. And he's already equipped you for the challenge. You don't need Saul's armor. You don't need to go and get some new something. If God knew that you weren't prepared, he wouldn't have put you in that situation. He wouldn't put you in that situation. So the prophet says, God had ordained him for the job. Proved that he was with him. But what does he say? What can I do, Lord? What can I do? Remember, Moses had already prophesied. That's an amazing thing. Look in that chapter there. What did Moses do first of all? Verse 13. When the challenge came, Moses got in the spirit. He was in the line of duty. And he preached to the people.
Hallelujah.
And what did he say to them? Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And then he came from church and the anointing went off him. And then there was sickness in the home. Then he said, Lord, what am I going to do? That's what he did. Then he's going back to the Lord to say, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? How am I going to face up to this situation here? Yeah. That's not what it's supposed to be. The prophet says, remember, he had already prophesied here. For he said, these Egyptians will see them no more. After he had done a good job in prophesying, now he's crying out, what am I going to do? Oh, if that isn't human beings. If that isn't me. If that isn't me, the prophet said. And if you go and listen to Why Christ Speak 1963, the prophet speaking about himself right through the message. You go and listen, it's very powerful. He's taking himself the same as Moses. And saying, but Moses was commissioned and he spoke the word and God created things through him. And then when he gets to the challenge, he's waiting for God to push him in and show him what to do. He should have just gone forward, spoken and gone forward. And you will find the prophet speaking about that. That's why I like the message, because the prophet isn't some super duper somebody trying to make himself to be somebody. He shows us he was a man of, Elijah was a man of like passions, like unto us. Now, the prophet says, he had already proved. And here, circumstances rose in a moment. What must I do, Lord? Hey, Lord, where are you at? Hey, do you hear me? What must I do? So the Lord had gone aside to rest for a while and said, I've left it in good hands there. I've got my son who's been called, anointed, and commissioned. He's going to take things on. And then Moses is saying, but Lord, where are you? Lord, speak to me in some way. Lord, show me some kind of a sign to show me what I must do. It's amazing. But that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. The prophet says, yet he knew that God had anointed him for this job to do this. It was the time for the people to be delivered. But he wanted to wait on thus saith the Lord. Now listen to what the prophet says. He should have known that the very vindication of his call was thus saith the Lord. If you're waiting for the Lord to speak to you with an audible voice, the very things he's already done for you is voice enough.
Amen.
Surely. The very vindication of who you are as a believer, as a son of God. Surely that's enough of thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It's God has already spoken enough through the things that he's done for us and through us and to us. For us to be waiting again for some specific prophecy of something before we go forward. No, let's go forward.
Amen.
That's what he said. The prophet says, also his job that he was ordained to was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we the bride, we are thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
There will be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Amen.
There's a thus saith the Lord for us.
Amen.
There's so many promises for us. Thou must eat the book and prophesy again. There's a thus saith the Lord for us. Why do we need a lot of other thus saith the Lords? If you'll just consider what he's done for you and how he's brought you to where you are today. And if you'll just consider God's thoughts and mind towards us, what he wants us to go forward to in our full inheritance, we don't need to wait for another thus saith the Lord. He's already spoken sufficiently to us. In all these circumstances that we've been through, we shouldn't doubt anymore. That's what he's saying that he should have said to Moses. His job, he was ordained, was thus saith the Lord. The brother says, why did he wait on thus saith the Lord? He wanted, Lord, what can I do? I've brought these children out this far. Here's the circumstances. Pharaoh's coming. They're all going to die. What must I do? What must I do? The prophet says, He'd already predicted what they were going to do. He had already told them just exactly how they needed to do it. Then, Lord, what must I do? That's human nature. It's just human nature. And friends, that's the black horse and the white horse. And if you're going to keep feeding the black horse, you're going to keep reacting like that. But if you're going to feed the white horse will speak and go forward. The white horse goes with unconscious faith to face up to what challenges that they are. Just depends on the one that we give the preeminence. Now, he then says, Samson. So he takes the other side now. Samson anointed, raised up, ordained of God, given a gift of power, was ordained to destroy the nation of the Philistines. Now, you are ordained for something as well. You are ordained to show forth Jesus Christ in this age. You are ordained to show what a real Christian is in all this hypocrisy that's taken over the world. You are to show what a genuine young person is in Christ. That there still are genuine Christians at college. There's genuine Christians at school. There's genuine Christians at work. There's genuine people, genuine married couples, genuine parents. That's what you're raised up to in simplicity. Amen. Every single one of us. Amen. Genuine young children in Christ. Amen. When the rest of the children are getting carried away with Batman and Iron Man and Ant-Man and all these kind of things, there's going to be some children who also know about Jesus. Amen. They know the Bible. They know how to respect the elders and so forth. Every one of us was ordained unto something. And Samson knew what he was ordained. He had his faults, friends. We know Samson's faults. But he never doubted his commission. He never doubted his calling. He was caught up in the flesh. But he never doubted his Nazarite blessing, his Nazarite commission, his Nazarite vow. He never doubted those things. And that's how the prophet's comparing now. Because Moses had a great gift. He could speak. The prophet had a great gift, he could speak. Samson was raised up with the gift of deliverance, a mighty gift. The prophet was raised up with a mighty gift. So the prophet saying, look at these two different people. He says, which one do we want to be like in these kind of situations? He says, Samson is the example. He says, he did it the right way. Moses did it according to human nature. Ordained, born on earth, anointed of God to destroy the Philistines. And one day they caught him out in the field. Yeah, the challenge came. Now let me ask you a question. God has anointed this man. God has ordained this man. Was it a coincidence he met 1,000 Philistines at that time? No. If God allowed him to meet 1,000 Philistines, God knew he's ready for 1,000 Philistines. That's the way that it was. He didn't have to go and fast 7 days to say, Lord, give me victory over these 1,000 Philistines. He didn't have to say, brothers, please, let's have a special prayer meeting. It was in the line of duty. He was called, he was anointed, he was ordained, and God allowed his footsteps to pass through 1,000 Philistines. God knows what he's doing. The prophet says, they caught him in the field without his sword and without a spear. Friends. That's circumstances. Amen. There was lots of things he could have dwelt upon. He could have said, oh, if only I had my sword. You know, I'd really do something for the Lord today. If only I had my big spear. He didn't worry about a sword and a spear. Yeah. He knew if God's allowed me to face up to this without my sword and my spear, God's going to make a way here. Yeah, he knew that. God's going to have to do something. Yeah. God's going to have to provide something for me to kill these Philistines. And that's exactly what he did. Did he get down and say, the prophet says, oh Lord, I'm waiting for a vision. Oh Lord, what must I do? Direct me now what to do. He knew he had a need. He found nothing but an old jawbone of a mule. And he beat down 1,000 Philistines. He never cried to God. He used his anointed gift. Maybe up to then he never knew the full extent of the faith that he had. Because he'd never killed 1,000 Philistines at once before. He had just killed a few here and a few there. That this day he said, well, it's okay. If this is the way that is, I go forward. And that anointing came down upon him and anointed the gift that was inside of him. And God confirmed and vindicated once again that as long as you, Samson, in the line of duty, as long as I'm not yet finished with you, it doesn't matter next time if there's 10,000 Philistines. There's not enough Philistines in all of Philistia to stop you, hold you back from my purpose. And friends, the prophet says there's not enough devils in hell to stop you from fulfilling your commission. There's not enough devils in hell to stop you fulfilling the purpose that God has raised you up for. There's not enough devils in hell. But the devil will try to make himself some big something. Yet he's been stripped of all his power. He's been stripped of all of his authority. The atonement of Christ has absolutely defeated the devil. When Jesus said it is finished, it was completely finished. The Bible says he stripped powers, he stripped principalities. He went down, took the keys of hell and death. He rose up triumphant, making a public show of his enemies, Paul says. Yeah? Having stripped them completely. And the devil plays in our mind now. It says, but how are you going to overcome that? Maybe you don't have enough faith. Oh, enough of that, friends. Speak and go forward. Whatever your Goliath is, challenge that Goliath. Go and say it's enough. Enough is enough. Who shall challenge this uncircumcised Philistine? Who's challenging the armies of the living God? He's standing in the way of the purposes of God. Now, if you're in sin, it's another story. If you're out of the will of God, it's another story. But if you're walking in your calling to the best of your ability, if you are in the line of duty today and something rises up when you get home and sickness in the middle of the night upon one of your children, challenge that thing. So Satan, you're standing in the way of the purposes of God. You have no authority, you have no right to do this in my house. Because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in a perfect atonement. I know that that day when you got them to lay those stripes upon him, you were doing yourself down. Because by those same stripes, I'm healed. And see what happens. And it doesn't even have to be when you're feeling super duper spiritual. It's the promises of God. Many times you want to wait, just, I want to really feel anointed before I pray for my child and that. That's not what he did. Speak and go forward. Yeah. He just took what there was and then the anointing came and God achieved the purpose. The prophet says that he didn't cry to God because he was an vindicated, anointed servant of God to destroy the Philistines and he did it. No matter what the circumstances was, he did it. He never asked anything. Because that was his job. That was his job. Are you doing your job for the Lord? Coming to church to worship him. Trying to testify to people. Whatever it is in simplicity. Supporting your husband. Whatever. You know, being a mother to your children. Whatever job God has raised you up to do. To be a part of the bride. To come and worship and sing in his house. To come and sing items. To encourage other people. Whatever. Testify. That's your job. That's your job. And Samson knew, this is my job. I don't have to wait and ask God whether I should do this. It's my job. That's what I'm raised up for. Let's finish as he comes to a close. The prophet says, when the enemy fenced him in Gaza. Imagine he goes and sleeps with the harlot. Yeah, he gets in sin and then the enemy comes and fences him in. And it seems like the enemy's got him trapped in a situation that he's never going to get himself out of. That wasn't humanly possible. They said, now we got him in the walls. We got him now. We got him on the inside here with this woman. We've got the door shut all around he can't get out. Samson didn't cry out, oh Lord, they've got me all fenced in. Oh, what am I going to do? He never did that. He just walked out, pulled down the gate, put it on his shoulder, and walked away with it. That's how unconscious faith is. You'll just go and do something and afterwards you'll be like, hey, what did I really do? Why, that was amazing. How did we overcome in that situation? That's so simple. Don't think about it. Don't reason it out. Just go forth in his name. Like Eliezer, the son of Dodo, when all those 250 Philistines came upon him in the field. And he says, I'm not going to allow them to take this, my inheritance. And he had a sword and he slew 250 Philistines. And it says afterwards he was weary and he sat down. But God gave him all the strength that he needed until he had the job done. And I'm sure after that he must have looked and said, but yay. I never knew that could be done. If I'd have known there were 250 of them, maybe I wouldn't have done this. But he just knew there's a job needs to be done. There's something coming to challenge my inheritance. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm in the land that God gave to us. And he just took what was in his hand, that sword. And he just used it. God anointed him, wrought deliverance for the people. And then the rest of the people came now and showed all of their valor afterwards when they came to collect all the treasure from the Philistines. Once he had done the job. The prophet says that. He says, he didn't pray about it. He didn't ask God whether to do it or not. It was right in the line of duty. The prophet says, amen, 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 right in the line of duty. Why cry to me? Speak and go on. He done quit whining and whimpering now. He was old enough to speak. He was old enough to speak and to go forward. He says, he knew that God raised him up for that purpose. There was nothing going to stand before him all the days of his life. Nothing could destroy him because he was raised for that purpose like Moses was. Nothing was going to stop him. Samson knew that he was on the road. He knew that he was on the journey. Friends, we haven't got to the end of this journey yet. We haven't fulfilled the fullness of our destiny yet. So whatever comes in our way, God has proved it to us time and time again. Let's go forward. Let's go forward and let's see the salvation of the Lord. But unless you go forward, you never see a salvation. Unless you step out, unless you go and say, okay, I'm going to take these gates. You're never going to know that anointing that comes upon you to enable you to do things that humanly possible. It's not able for you to do. It's not possible to do. He was on his road. So there was nothing going to stand in his way. No, sir. Right in the line of duty with God. Nothing was going to stand in his way. So he picked up the gates, put them on his shoulder, 4 or 5 tons, walked to the top of the hill and sat down on them. Nothing going to stand in his way. He didn't have to cry out, Lord, what must I do? He was already anointed to do it. That was, thus saith the Lord, get rid of them. The prophet says, hallelujah. Get rid of them. I've raised you up for that purpose. Amen. All you need to do is ask yourself, what did God raise you up to do? God raised you up to show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God raised you up so that he can show himself real and alive in you, in each and every one of us. God raised you up so that he can show his glory in you, so that he can reflect himself in you. God raised you up to fulfill some purpose. Raised you up, he's called you, commissioned you, anointed you, amen, taken you through so many things, through many valleys, many trials, many heartaches. Many people have fallen by the wayside and you still standing. And you still going forth. And as you enter this year, there's still something inside of your soul that has a determination to say, it doesn't matter what comes this year, I'm going to keep going forward. And as long as you still have that unconscious faith inside of you, God's going to keep honoring that faith. God will honor it each step of the way. Friends, we need to speak and go forward. That's what we need to do. We don't need to analyze things too much. Don't need to sit in a council together and say, no, this is the problem. Oh, it's so big, it's so big. We don't need to send 12 spies before us and they must come back and tell us what to do. All that you need is in you. All that you need to face up to whatever challenge that God allows you to go through, he's already equipped you for it. But many times you don't realize the faith that you've got. You don't realize that in your subconscious, God has been equipping you, storing up his divine power through his anointed word. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And each time you're feeding on his word, it's doing something inside of your faith. The devil may try to attack you in the mind, but just don't pay attention to him. Speak and go forward. And then the prophet, he speaks about the bride. He gets on to that. We won't get on to it tonight. But he speaks about our commission as well. Our commission is to speak and go forward. Our commission, the Philistines are gathering once again. There's all manner of trials and all manner of things that Satan would desire to do. We don't look at the circumstances. We don't worry about what people do, what the politicians do. When it gets time for us to really express who we really are, when the challenge really comes down, God will have prepared us perfectly for the challenge. Because he'll never put upon you more than you're able to bear. That's what the Bible says. He'll never put you in a circumstance that you're not able to bear. If you're just in the line of duty, you're going forth in your commission, you've been ordained by him, you're walking with God to the best of your ability, speak and go forward. And see what God will do. And then when God does it for you, come and testify to the sons and daughters of God about the faithfulness of God, about his goodness to us in the land of the living. Come and speak about the goodness of God in the circumstances that he took you through. And you'll encourage your brother and sister through the same kind of things. Let's come to a time of prayer before we go. Whatever situation you're in, friends, just pray and say, Lord, I'm just checking up inside of my life to make sure I'm in the line of duty. Lord, if I've strayed from the line of duty, forgive me. Lord, I just want to make sure my sins are under the blood. I don't want to give any ammunition to the devil. I don't want to give him any authority in my life. I don't want him to have any legal domain inside of my life. Put everything under the blood. And then whatever it is that you're facing up to, pray to him tonight and say, thank you, Lord, that you've already equipped me. Then speak and go forward. And the next thing is, come and testify of his goodness. And we'll hear of the goodness of the Lord. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing one song and then we come to a time of prayer. And let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's speak and go forward.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book. Your cares on Jesus, and you'll find you'll soon be whole. Believe his word and promise, all is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every trust in God and call upon his name. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love. And does he really care? Look unto the Lord, and you'll find he's always there. Believe his word and trust our God, he cares. Every
Saints, let's call upon his name. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm just looking unto thee upon this evening, Lord, and bring myself before thee, Lord, and I just really look unto thee. Just be it unto me, Father, Lord, just according to this word. All these things, Father, that would come to stand in the way, I just want to go forth, Lord, in your precious Father line of duty. I just want to go forth in your precious name, Father, to give unto thee the praise, to give unto thee the honor, to give unto thee the glory, Lord.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
Just at the end of service, we want to be thankful for everything, Lord. Realizing when you send your word, O Lord, that you really send that word, O Lord. We don't want to be people who've been looking in the mirror and then we go out and we forget, O Lord. O Lord, help us to do according your word, O Lord. Because you didn't send us word to be just outside going and we forget everything and we'd be defeated on every step of our corner, O Lord. O Lord, many times we are tired, whatever, we are coming against that, O Lord. Because you promised that you will give us strength like eagles, that you will go from strength to strength, O Lord. You promised that, O Lord. We just want to We don't want to look at those things, O Lord. Many times comes, O Lord, that our cars are broken down, whatever. Yes. O Lord, you are with us, O Lord. You fix those things we ask. Yes, we are coming against those things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord.
Yes.
O Lord, you lift up your people. Many times people can't come even for service, O Lord. Give them good jobs, O Lord, that
Amen.
They can come always, O Lord,
Amen.
That they can
yes.
support ministry, that they can support everyone, O Lord. That
Amen.
Everyone will be encouraged to come, O Lord.
This
that,
Lord.
O Lord, live lost will be found, O Lord.
Yes.
O Lord, that last one, O Lord. O Lord, we commit all things into your hands.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You came to encourage us, O Lord.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Speak to us, O Lord, when Hallelujah. We go home, O Lord. That we will not forget. That we will come just to bring here and there something, O Lord.
Amen.
Just we commit ourselves into your hands. That we will go with clear mind. Wherever we go, that you are with
yes,
us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever circumstances will come, that we should Amen. Raise up and go forward, O Lord.
Amen.
In your name, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our pastor. Bless everyone.
Amen.
Whoever go home, protect us on the road, O Lord. We are thankful because you promised that you will be with us, O Lord.
Amen.
We go in your name, O Lord. Whatever Amen. Will happen, O Lord.
Yes.
We commit our families into your hands.
Yes.
Our children, O Lord. May they serve you, O Lord. May they know
Amen.
You, O Lord.
Amen.
May
yes,
devil will, whatever will come, O Lord. But you protect them, O Lord. We commit
yes,
them into your hands, O Lord. You raise them up,
yes, Lord.
O Lord, for your glory.
Hallelujah.
Even ourselves, O Lord. We just commit ourselves into your hands.
Amen.
When we go for our work and whatever, Lord. Whatever will come, give us wisdom. How to approach those things, O Lord.
Amen.
With wisdom, O Lord. With your power, with your name, like we sing that song. Take your name. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Yes.
O Lord, we are your children. We commit ourselves into your hands, O Lord. Just to go like children of King, O Lord.
Amen.
We are so thankful for that. We are so thankful for word, O Lord. Whatever sin, whatever, O Lord, forgive us.
Amen.
Cover with your blood.
Yes.
We are so thankful that you never lose us, O Lord.
Amen.
We are always your children, O Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that you paid price for us. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one as we dismiss, brother.
Sails over the troubled seas, whenever there's a way. I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale.
Oh, I know.
I know the master of the waves. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the waves. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights above the peace my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the light, brings me low but never brings me down.
I know.
I know the master of the way. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms and make the sun to shine again.